Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh, day number 16 of our continuing coverage for you here. Let's go to the courtroom.
Yes, sir.
Your Honor, and I know we've been in trial 4 weeks. I certainly don't want to mistrial this, and I don't think anybody in the world does. But it's the state's belief during his last questions that they opened the door to the roadside shooting. Before I ask...
All right, question this witness about that?
To follow up when Eddie Smith came into the... how he came in the investigation.
He's in the middle of cross-examination at this moment.
Can I ask him when Eddie Smith came into the investigation?
You want to ask him questions?
I didn't want to do anything to mistrial, and I was surprised that came up.
I understand, and I agree with you. But now is not the time for you to, in the middle of his cross-examination, to bring the jury. You may continue.
Just a few loose ends, Agent Owen. In your investigation, you did not identify any life insurance on the lives of Maggie and Paul. Is that correct?
No, I did not.
And one of the things that was asked of Dr. Reamer about a conversation she had with you as to the stain on Maggie's calf. Do you remember whether Dr. Reamer told you that there was a bruise there as well?
I believe that is. It's in my notes. Hang on just a moment. According to my notes, We talk about Belize's first shot was to Maggie's legs, then abdomen, followed by the wrist, to headshot with funnel, rear headshot. There was a bruise on Maggie's left calf that coincided with possibly shoe print, or but Dr. Reimer did not feel someone intentionally stood on her leg. Okay. And that's according to my notes.
Yes, sir. And your notes related to there was a muddy thing on the back of her calf, and Dr. Reimer noticed there was a bruise there as well. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Lastly, the fingerprints. Were there any dusting for fingerprints done in the feed room at Moselle?
I am not aware if there was or not. I wasn't in the feed room with the crime scene the entire time.
Okay. And the and we talked about the DNA swabs. One of the people that was supplying Curtis Eddie Smith is in custody, is he not?
He is in custody, yes, sir.
Have you gotten a DNA swab from him?
I have not, but I know one has been obtained, yes.
Okay. And you know if it's been cross-checked against?
It was not obtained in this case. I don't know. I believe it has been cross-checked.
Okay.
I don't have that report in front of me.
Yeah. Another point. Just understand you were not made aware of the negative HemaTrace confirmatory blood test until sometime in November of 2022. Is that right?
That is correct.
How is it that the lead case agent is left out of the information channel for something so significant?
From what I was able to figure out when the lab issues reports, pursuant to my case or any other agent's case, we have email notifications to go in and find that report, or you know, there's a new report available. Once I figured out that report existed, I searched my emails, and I did not have an email notification that report was there. There's multiple other reports. I had been in there multiple times looking at other reports, and I did not see that report. I was not made aware of its existence.
Sure. And it wasn't until after you saw that report that now you change focus to the clothes he was wearing in the Snapchat video. Is that correct?
Restate that question. But
it wasn't until after you became aware that there's no blood, HemaTrace confirmatory test of blood on Alex's shirt that you start, you know, asking questions of folks about the clothing that Alex was wearing in the Snapchat video.
Well, I asked him on August the 11th of 2021, okay, because I had that Snapchat video of when did he change clothes.
Okay. And he said
he didn't know.
He didn't know. Okay. But you never asked for those clothes, never tried to find those clothes, never executed a search warrant for those clothes, have you?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you develop any information that Eddie Smith was skimming money? That Alec was paying him for the drugs, that he wasn't paying the Sandhills gang everything they were due?
I am not aware of that information.
Okay. And the last thing, you had mentioned that part of your, and on the tape interview with Alec, you had mentioned that the blackout cartridges that were found near Maggie's body matched, or that were extracted from the same firearm as used to extract cartridges at the house and the shooting range. Remember telling Alec that?
Yes.
And, but you were informed, though, that forensically at the lab, they could not say with 100% confirmation that they did actually match until the missing firearm is recovered.
That was my understanding, yes.
And that's what Agent Greer or others that he worked for and told you as lead case agent.
That's what Mr. Greer told me, yes.
Okay. That he couldn't say with 100% certainty, is that right?
Of which he couldn't say 100% certainty which firearm that came out of until he had a firearm to compare it to.
Thank you.
Redirect.
Did he say that those shell casings from Maggie's body, the side of the house, and the shooting range were all cylinder and came from, had been in the same gun at one time?
Yes.
And when you asked the defendant on that in the third interview, they said this was a, told him exactly what I told you. So he's, and it was a family-owned gun, right?
Yes.
And then he kind of responded, how did they get it? He was almost going with you. How did they get it, right?
Yes, sir.
That was one of the ways you get somebody out of the center, by asking them to give statements?
Yes, sir.
Tell me what happened.
Yes, sir.
And on June 7th, did you say, tell me what happened?
Yes, sir.
And on June 10th, did you say, tell me what happened?
Yes, sir. And on June 10th, I wanted more detail.
I'm sorry.
I wanted more detail on June 10th.
And did you get more detail?
I got more detail on June 10th, yes.
And on August 11th, did you give some information and then try to gain some information?
That is correct.
And Mr. Griffin asked you about that shirt and all. Did he say, Bo, hold on, let me go get that thing and bring it back to you right now.
The shirt? No, sir.
He didn't say, hold on, I'll go and get that shirt right now.
Talking about the white T-shirt?
No, sir.
No, the blue shirt?
About on August 11th.
Oh, no,
shirt,
sir.
So he was talking.
No, sir.
And he tried to describe it. Did this, what is described as a seafoam shirt? Were you familiar with that?
Leading and misleading.
How would that shirt be described, you know, in your investigation by the witness who saw it? Ms. Blanca
described to me that she saw him leaving the house that Monday morning in a seafoam pullover. I believe she characterized it as a Vinnie Vine shirt.
She said a polo shirt leaving that morning.
Yes.
On this video he showed you with the tree, it's how would she describe that shirt in the tree?
A blue button-up. She described it as a Columbia-style shirt.
Columbia. Seafoam. Seafoam color.
I don't lead the witness.
Did she tell you what color she thought it was?
The one leaving that morning.
No, sir.
No,
the one on the tree.
Blue.
On June 7th, June 10th, August 11th, did Alex Murdaugh ever mention anybody else that might be a potential suspect in this case?
No, sir. Other than he continued to mention the boat case. But no specific individual.
Did he mention to you anything about these cowboys that Mr. Griffin's asked you about?
No, sir.
Did he mention to you anything about a Curtis Edward Smith?
No, sir.
June 7th he didn't?
No,
June
sir.
June 10th he didn't?
No, sir.
August 11th he didn't?
No, sir.
When did he ask you about Curtis Edward? Or when did he bring in Curtis Edward Smith into this investigation? He being Alex Murdaugh.
September 4th, 2021.
September 4th, 2021. And can you tell us how that came about?
Objection overruled.
Continue.
How did it come about that Mr. Murdaugh told you about Curtis Edward Smith?
On September 4th, 2021, I received a phone call from Randy Murdaugh that Alec had been shot and they were concerned for his safety and what was going on. And I immediately responded, along with other agents, to the scene.
What scene?
The scene on Old Salkehatchie Road in Varnville, Hampton County.
And did you go to that scene?
I did.
And did you see the defendant, Alex Murdaugh, at the scene?
No, I did not. He had been transported to the hospital.
And do you know where he was transported?
I believe it was Savannah, a hospital in Savannah.
Okay. And at that point, did you or another SLED agent go to Savannah Hospital to interview the defendant?
Two other agents went to the hospital to interview Alec.
And was one of those agents Neil?
No, Agent Kelly.
Agent Kelly, you in the courtroom?
Yes.
Will you please stand? Is that him?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. and in the hospital. And what day was this?
September 4th, 2021.
September 4th, 2021. And at that point, did the defendant, or did you learn through an investigation, did he say somebody shot him on the side of the road?
Yes, through the investigation, that's what's told to us.
Well, did he identify anybody on September 4th who shot him?
Not by name. He gave a description.
He gave a description?
Yes.
Did he attempt to pick somebody out of a book?
No, sir. There was, a SLED forensic composite artist went down and did a composite drawing with him.
So he helped get a sketch of the person who shot him?
Yes, sir.
Describe the person?
Yes, sir.
Did they actually do a sketch?
Yes, sir, they did.
And at that point, had he mentioned anybody's name else in the investigation that you ought to go back and look at about Paul and Maggie's murder?
No, sir.
After that, did the defendant tell you or your law enforcement friends he was lying about the roadside incident?
Objection. To the extent it's hearsay, if he didn't tell this agent, then it's not the appropriate witness.
Yes, sir.
Did the defendant give another statement about the roadside?
Yes, he did.
Did he admit he was lying?
Objection. Statement to you or to someone else?
Statement to someone else, sir.
Objection sustained.
At what point, in response to their question, the defendant bring in Curtis Eddie Smith's name to this?
I don't believe he ever brought Curtis Smith's name into it. It was through investigation that we developed him as a suspect or a subject involved in the shooting.
And did the defendant give an interview with Mr. Harpootlian and Mr. Griffin via audio phone call where they mentioned Curtis Edward Smith?
Objection. Objection's overruled.
I know an interview was conducted. I don't know who was present. I was not present for that interview.
Did Curtis Edward Smith come through his chief investigator's name come out of that interview?
I do not know, sir.
But prior to that day, had Alex Murdaugh ever mentioned to you Curtis Edward Smith or anybody else that might have been involved in his son's or mother's, his son's or his wife's murder?
No, sir.
So after the roadside incident, and whatever he told whoever's going to be called, that's when he brought in other people.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Griffin's asked a lot of questions about the search. The crime scene where the two bodies were, was that secure?
Yes, it was.
Was evidence gathered?
Yes, it was.
Were swabs taken?
Yes, they were.
And I think he asked you about the Suburban, his Suburban, and whether or not there was anything wet in the back of his car. Are you familiar with what's known as a cooler?
Yes.
A good old cooler?
Yes, sir.
Could you put wet garments in a cooler?
You can, yes.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. And he asked you about anything in the car. Was there blood on the steering wheel of Suburban? That car?
There was blood found on that steering wheel, yes.
And that DNA from that blood came back to whom?
Maggie Murdaugh.
Maggie Murdaugh.
Yes, sir.
And he asked you about some guns. Did the defendant hand you a gun?
He handed first responders the gun, yes, sir.
What type of gun was that?
It was a 12-gauge shotgun.
When I say you sometime, I mean law enforcement.
I understand.
Apologize. And as a result of swabs, was blood identified on that gun?
Yes, sir.
And whose blood, DNA was that?
Maggie Murdaugh.
Maggie Murdaugh.
Yes, sir.
And was that 12-gauge shotgun consistent or inconsistent with a weapon that killed Paul Murdaugh?
It was the same gauge, being a 12-gauge, and firearms examiner was not able to exclude the gun.
Which means he could include it but not exclude it?
Correct.
And Griffin asked you about getting out of the circle. When you talk to somebody, are you looking for consistent statements, inconsistent, when you're examining or talking to somebody who might be involved? Why are you asking them questions?
To learn more, to see if they tell the same story.
And if that story is contradicted by other witnesses, do you want to know that?
Yes, sir.
And were you going out to check his story with other witnesses?
Yes, sir.
What he told you versus what other witnesses told you?
Correct.
As a result of that, were there contradictions between what Mr. Murdaugh told you and what witnesses told you?
Yes.
Shelley Smith?
Yes.
Blanca Simpson?
Yes.
And he asked you to spend a long time about this time frame. Why does it matter when he got out of Alameda? Would it matter if somebody's hiding guns somewhere on Alameda? Would you need time to do that?
You would need time, but if you're familiar with it, I don't think you would need that much time.
But would it take time to go hide guns?
5 minutes, 10 minutes, yes.
Would it take time? Would that be a reason you might have a contradictory statement how long you visited
yes.
somebody?
Yes.
And your car would still be there, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Did CB, he asked you about CB Rose. Did he ever identify tell you about a cooler that was found out there at some point that wasn't usually there?
Yes, out by what's been referred to as the skin shed where they process meat.
What was that about that cooler? In the course of your investigation, had that cooler been there before this night?
CB Rose told us it was not. When he left on Friday prior to the...
Objection sustained.
Did you see that cooler after Friday?
Did I see the cooler on when CB Rowe pointed it out? Yes.
You did see it?
Yes.
And was it there Saturday? Excuse me. Did you see it on Monday? Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning?
Monday night, Tuesday morning, yes, I did see it.
Did you see that cooler again?
I don't recall.
Okay. He asked you about the rain jacket, the tarp, and asked you if was there any blood or these notes everybody's giving me. Is that coat, does that repel water? That jacket, the rain jacket?
Yes, I would think so. Being a rain jacket.
Was there GSR located on that rain jacket?
On the inside of it, yes.
Say it again, on the where?
On the inside.
And he asked you about blood or DNA. Was there a whole bunch of GSR found on that inside of that rain jacket?
Yes, it was.
And he asked you about, I believe, Shelley's testimony or about seeing that rain jacket. Did she say he was holding it like this?
Yes, she said it was balled up in his arms.
And he was asking you about timing, I think, unless I'm crazy. That could be there 5 years, 10 years. When did Shelley Smith tell your investigation, hey, I saw him with this blue vinyl coat. When was that in relation to the murders? Was that 5 years, 10 years? How long was that?
Objection, Your Honor. He's misstating the
objection is overruled.
In the record.
She told us she saw it the day after Mr. Randolph Murdaugh's funeral. which through my investigation
were objection hearsay.
Objection's overruled.
Which would have been June 14th, the following Monday after Paul and Maggie were murdered. So 7 days.
Was there? Now he asked you about your testimony to the Colleton grand jury.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know it was out there. Did you give them a summary of the case?
The grand jury, yes.
And did that include timeline?
I believe so, yes.
Some of his financial crimes?
Yes, sir.
Background?
Yes, sir.
Did that include information the jury hears from some of these lawyers and the financial issues?
Yes, sir.
Did that include whether blackout casings near Maggie were consistent with those or match those found near the house and the property?
It did.
Did it include that the family had three blackout rifles?
Yes.
Alex originally had two, but remembered in the follow-up one of them had been replaced?
Yes, sir.
That you've confirmed that?
Yes.
Did you present whether or not shotguns of similar make and load were found on the property?
Yes.
Did you present that Alex was in the possession of a shotgun that was consistent with one of the murderous weapons? Couldn't be excluded?
Correct.
And did you mention to them about Shelly Smith and kind of what we've just been talking about?
Yes, sir.
Did you mention to them about defendant denying going to the kennels three times?
Yes.
Leading the witness.
Don't lead the witness.
What did you tell them about him going to the kennels?
That after dinner, he stayed at the house and took a nap. When Maggie went to the kennels and Paul left, he wasn't sure where he went, but that he was never at the kennels after dinner.
Did you mention them about Rogan Gibson?
And the phone call that he had had with Paul, and that Rogan had heard. Paul was talking to Paul on the phone, heard Maggie in the background, and he was 99% sure that he heard Alec in the background. And that phone call would have been around 8:44 p.m.
Did you mention about this to the grand jury, this video ultimately got located or downloaded?
That it was found on Paul's phone.
And did you tell them the contents of that video?
Yes, that Paul was taking a video of the dog. Rogan Gibson's dog, his chocolate lab, and that Maggie was in the background, and that Alec was in the background.
And did you present to them some of what we heard, the money he acquired, he being Alex, after this incident, the money he came into?
Yes.
Did you mention to them about whether Maggie intended to go to Moselle that night or not? What did you say to them about Maggie going to, and her plans, or whether she was going to go to Moselle that night or wanted to, if anything?
That Maggie had intended to go to Edisto, but had received a call from Alec requesting her to come home, that Paul was there, which contradicted the statements from the sister, Marion, where Maggie had called Marion and said that she had received a call from Alec, that Alec wanted her to come to Moselle, that Paul was there and his dad was in the hospital. But during an interview with Alec in August, he stated that it was basically a surprise. He didn't know she was coming.
And did you mention to them that an reward had been offered on the offer?
That a reward was offered, $100,000 with an expiration date.
And did you tell them whether or not there was any other information or any other credible evidence pointing to anybody else?
I did.
Mr. Griffin asked you about the scene. It was bloody?
Very bloody.
Defendant said he had touched and rolled, tried to move Paul?
Yes, sir.
Did you see any evidence of that on him?
No.
Your eyes?
I did not see any on Alec. No, sir.
Mr. Griffin's gone. I don't know if it's a good question or not. Did they say go to Alameda?
Who?
Him.
No, sir.
Alex Murdaugh. Any of the lawyers there?
No.
They give you consent to search Alameda that night?
No, sir.
They said go search Alameda?
No, sir.
Is that funny? I'm sorry.
Your Honor, him addressing me. If I found your question humorous, I'm sorry. I thought it was a funny question. It was a rhetorical question. I asked the court to instruct him not to address me, but the witness. Thank you.
You may proceed.
I guess the point is Griffin said they were bending over, one to help, one to do all this. Never mentioned Curtis Smith or anybody else until September, right?
Judge, leading.
Can't lead the witness.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Did he ever mention anybody else who could have done this, who could have been involved with, who could have killed my wife and my son from June 7th, 2021 until September of 21? Did he ever mention anybody else?
No, he did not.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is it police procedure that the suspect of your investigation is supposed to solve the crime?
No, it's not. But it helps to have information from other sources.
And you were asked a number of what ifs. One what if was like, what if he hid the guns at Alameda? How long would that take? And you said 5 minutes, right?
I said 5 or 10 minutes, depending on if you know the area.
What if you'd gone over there that night and searched Alameda? How long would that have taken?
Quite some time. Large property.
And we would know today that there were no guns hidden on the property.
Well, that night, Alec was not considered a main suspect, and I had no information to go search Alameda for guns.
At what point in time did you ask Alec, did you hide guns at Alameda?
I didn't.
First time that question ever came to you was on February 15th at 4:30 in the afternoon. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I think you testified about item 22, and I just may not have heard you correctly, but and Mr. Greer's testimony will speak for itself, but the results were he can't say it's item 22 is the shotgun that Alec had when Deputy Green came in, but mm-hmm. he can't say, he can't exclude it, he can't exclude it, he can't say anything about it.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you mentioned what Shelly Smith told you in an interview, I take it. Did she tell you? Did you ever interview Shelly Smith?
Yes, I did.
And you testified that she told you that Alec came over there on June 14th in the morning, right? That's what you testified to this jury. That's what she told you.
She told me it was the day after Mr. Murdoch's, Randolph Murdoch's funeral.
All right.
Through my research, would have been June 14th.
And you were here in the courtroom when she testified under oath in front of this jury that Alec came over there 3 days later, and it was June the 16th on Wednesday. You heard that testimony, didn't you?
That's what she said in court, yes.
That was her sworn testimony, correct?
Yes.
That's all the question that.
You may step down. I'll call your next witness.
Stickball's David Gross.
Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
If you would please, sir, be seated, state your full name for the record, spell your last name.
My name is David Grubbs, G-R-U-B-B-S.
Good afternoon, Mr. Grubbs. Where are you employed, sir?
I'm employed with the South Carolina Attorney General's Office.
All right. And what is your job title at the Attorney General's Office?
I'm the Chief Forensic Investigator for the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force.
All right. And it, just briefly, let the jury know what the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force does.
So we assist agencies throughout the state, as well as have our own investigators, and we look into peer-to-peer downloads that go over the internet, usually containing child pornography in them. We also do chat ops throughout the state, posing as minors to attract suspects.
Okay.
My unit specifically does the computer forensics for those cases.
Okay, when you say forensics, you mean, for instance, cell phone forensics, correct?
Yes.
So as part of your job duties, you perform cell phone downloads, extractions, and analyze them, correct?
Correct.
And you've gone to a number of trainings in the past that's focused on that.
Yes, sir.
Correct. All right. Can you read for the jury your training in this area, please?
Sure. So I am a Cellebrite certified operator, a Cellebrite certified physical analyst. I'm a certified blacklight examiner, which both of those are cell phone data extraction tools. I'm certified in Forensic Explorer, which is used to analyze computers. GRIFFI analyze training, DATIGO. In the area of magnet forensics, which is magnet makes the tool Axiom, which is one of our primary tools that we use, I've received advanced iOS and gray key training, advanced iOS examinations, magnet Axiom advanced mobile forensics, Axiom based computer forensic examination, and Axiom advanced computer forensics. I'm also a member of the United States Secret Service Cyber Task Force, Cyber Fraud Task Force to be specific, which runs the National Computer Forensic Institute in Hoover, Alabama, where I've been sent to for basic network investigations, Macintosh forensic training, digital investigation supervisor's course, and I received an award in 2020 and 2021, being ranked in the top forensic examiners with the Secret Service. I've had training from the National White Collar Crime Center, which is called NW3C, in basic data recovery and acquisition, intermediate data recovery and acquisition, basic cell phone investigation, cell phone interrogation, advanced wireless network investigations, GPS interrogation, Windows artifacts, social media, identifying and seizing electronic evidence, encryption, and legal concerns for digital evidence responders. I've also been to the SANS Institute for multiple trainings for advanced network forensics and analysis, advanced digital forensics and incident response, hacker tools, techniques, exploits, and incident handling. I've taken a course with Texas A&M Engineering Service for information security, and then for other forensic softwares, I have had Access Data Bootcamp, Access Data Mac Forensics, Encase Computer Forensics, and in addition to that, pretty much every year except for when COVID was going on, we'll go to a national training for law enforcement on child exploitation in Atlanta.
All right, thank you. At this time, State would move to enter Investigator Grubbs as a expert in cell phone forensics.
No objections.
So qualified.
And Investigator Grubbs, there are three cell phones in evidence in this case, and the data associated, you've analyzed some of it, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's talk specifically about Paul's phone. And to your knowledge, was that originally extracted by, I believe, John Van Outen of the Secret Service?
Yes, sir.
And then provided to that information provided to Lieutenant Brick Dove?
Yes, sir.
And you received that cell phone information from him, and you've analyzed it as well, correct?
I did.
Okay. And you were asked to focus on a couple of specific areas in your analysis of those of Paul's phone, correct?
Yes, sir. Okay.
One of which was Paul's battery habits and battery usage on his cell phone, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 530. Do you recognize that,
sir? I do.
All right. And what is that?
That is a report that I generated concerning Paul's phone and battery and shutdown time with the phone.
Okay. And you looked, in the week prior to the murders, you looked at how many times Paul's phone it died because of its battery ran out, correct?
Correct.
And you identified those times, right?
Yes, sir.
Times.
Yes, sir.
So how many times that week did his phone die in total that week from the battery?
Four.
All right. And what days were those on?
It looks like June the 3rd, twice on June the 5th, and then on June the 7th.
And June 7th, it died when?
It is 10:34 p.m.
10:34 p.m. Okay. One of the pieces of information that cell phones log is when a phone is plugged back in after it's died to charge, correct?
Yes.
All right. And when you looked at this data of when the phone died that week, Paul's phone died, did you identify when it was plugged in?
I did, sir.
All right. And can you just tell the jury on those two, when the phone died each of those times and when it was plugged back in, please?
Sure. So it is logged that on June the 3rd at 12:30:27 p.m., the phone died, the battery went dead, and at 12:34:03, it had power again. It was reconnected.
And I'm going to take that from you. And at this time, State would move to enter Exhibit 530 into evidence.
Submitted.
Can you see anything on your screen up there? Oh, here it comes. All right, sorry about that. Okay, so can you zoom out a little bit? There we go. All right, so on June 3rd of 2021, what time did Paul's phone die?
On the 3rd, 12:30:27.
All right, what time is it plugged in?
12:34:03.
About 4 minutes later, correct?
Yes, sir.
A little less than 4 minutes, correct?
Yes.
June 5th, the first time, at what time did the phone die?
10:18:33.
All right, and what time was it plugged back in?
10:36:17.
So that would be roughly 17 minutes or
yes,
so?
Sir.
All right, and then June 5th, the second time, what time did it die?
9:23 p.m.
Okay. And what time was it plugged back in?
21:30:21 or 9:30.
Okay. So roughly about 7 minutes later.
Yes,
correct?
Sir.
Okay. All right. And you just didn't focus on when Paul's phone died in the data you reviewed, correct?
Correct.
Did you find in what you reviewed, did Paul frequently let his battery get low?
Yeah, he seemed to kind of fly close to the sun. The phone was always getting down to 1 or 2% before he plugged it in.
And would you say, in your opinion, from the data reviewed, the majority of the time he let it get that low, would he ultimately get it plugged in before it died?
Yes, sir.
Except during that week for those specific occasions, correct?
Correct.
All right. All right. And one other thing you were asked to look at on Paul's phone were the times when his screen came on, correct?
Yes.
And when it came off, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's sometimes referred to as the backlight on a phone, correct?
Correct.
All right. And you're specifically asked to look at the time on Paul's phone starting at about 8:49 p.m. on the night of June 7th, correct?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to show you it's been marked as State's 529. take a look at that. And what do you recognize that, sir?
Yes, I created this.
All right, and what is that?
It shows the backlight for the phone when it's kind of going on and off throughout that night.
For what time period?
From the period of 8:49 and then the final time of 10:34.
Okay. At this time, State would move to enter Exhibit 5 coming on into evidence.
No objection.
Admit it.
And let's before we talk about this specific data, let's just, the jury's here heard some testimony on this screen backlight. And a screen coming on. Under what conditions, generally speaking, will a cell phone screen come on?
There's a lot of conditions that'll cause a cell phone screen to come on. If you pick up your phone, that can have the screen turn on. If you get a message or an alert from an app that you have, that can cause the screen to turn on. If the phone senses motion in a particular way, it'll turn on. There's a whole variety of ways that the backlight will activate.
I think you may have mentioned this, but the screen can be tapped.
You can simply tap your screen, and that will cause it to turn on as well.
And so, just to in a nutshell, the screen can come on for sometimes there's no human interaction, correct?
Correct.
But it also can be turned on by human interaction.
Yes, correct?
Sir. Okay. Let's look at the information on your report real quick. All right. Okay, so at 8:49 p.m., looks like the screen goes off, correct?
Correct.
On Paul's phone. And what time does it get the next time that screen lights up?
The next screen on is at 10:18:08 p.m.
Okay. And in your review of Paul's phone, did you determine during that same time frame, starting at 8:49, was Paul's phone locked or unlocked?
It was locked.
Okay, so it was locked and the screen was off between 8:49 and 10:18, correct?
Yes.
And then at 10:18:08, we see the screen come on, correct?
Yes, it appears to come on for 12 seconds to 10:18:20.
Okay. And then the screen goes back off starting at what time?
10:18:20.
Okay. And then it comes back on?
At 10:20:08.
All right. And how long does it come on at 10:20:08?
It goes until 10:20:20, so 12 seconds.
12 seconds. All right. And then what happens with his screen?
It goes back off at 10:20:20.
Okay, and it stays off until when?
10:34:16.
And is that the time Paul's phone died?
Yes.
All right, and so the screen may have come on briefly as the phone was
It looks off. Like for 4 seconds.
Okay, all right. In your review of Paul's phone, did you identify some of the communications that came into his phone?
Yes, I did.
And did you identify the last text that was sent to Paul's phone?
Yes.
And do you recall who sent that text?
Rogan.
All right. And you may not remember this exactly, but first of all, was that do you recall contents of that very last text from Rogan?
Yes, it just says yo.
All right. This jury's heard testimony that cell phones will log when someone actually reads a text.
They
correct?
Do.
And did you find any log that text yo was read?
It was not read.
Okay. And do you recall roughly the time that text hit Paul's phone?
I don't off the top of my head.
All right. Was it between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock p.m.?
Yes.
Roughly speaking? Okay. But that was the last text. No other text came to his phone after that text from Rogan that said yo.
Correct.
All right. And in your opinion, if anybody had been looking at that screen that came on, at either 10:18:08 or 10:20:08, would they have seen a notification on that screen?
Most likely, yes. You can set your phone to not show contents, or sometimes if you have a text that comes through, it'll show the whole text and the contact. It depends on how it's setting, but yes, typically, if you were to see the home screen of the phone, there would be the notification.
Right. And so, depending on the settings, there's a good chance if anybody happened to be looking at that phone screen at those times, they would have seen a text notification from Rogan Gibson, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you just testified, we don't know exactly why the screen came on at that time, correct?
We do not.
All right, it could have been somebody tapped it, correct?
Yes.
Somebody may have briefly picked up the phone, correct?
Yes.
It could have been any number of things, correct?
Yes, any number of things.
And you can't tell us exactly why, though?
I cannot.
This jury's heard a good bit of testimony about phone orientation changes, and we'll talk a little more about that in a minute. But In your opinion, is it possible for someone to just briefly pick up a phone, see the screen come on, put it back down, and for the phone not to record an orientation change?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. And you're also asked to look at Maggie's phone, correct?
Yes, sir.
And specifically, what database were you asked to take a look at on Maggie's phone?
KnowledgeC.
All right. The jury's heard some testimony on the KnowledgeC database, but just please refresh our memories what that is and what kind of information is contained in a KnowledgeC database on an iPhone.
Sure. So the KnowledgeC database is something that Apple uses in the background to kind of track things that you're doing. It tracks your battery level, it tracks when you plug your phone in and when you unplug it, a whole bunch of stuff that is going on in the background that typically people have no idea is even running.
Okay. All sorts of information in that.
All sorts of information.
Would some folks be surprised if they saw the amount of information a phone is recording at any given
time? It can hold millions of artifacts.
Okay. I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 528. I'm going to ask if you recognize that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Have you reviewed the contents of that CD?
I have. It's a digital copy of some timeline reports from Maggie's phone.
And specifically from Maggie's phone?
Yes, sir.
All right. And that timeline report would be from the KnowledgeC database?
Yes, sir.
All right. And specifically, you said that a KnowledgeC database can contain millions of artifacts, correct?
Yes.
When you prepared that timeline, did you kind of narrow it down a little bit?
Yes, I did.
And roughly what times? On that?
I believe from 8 to past 10.
And at this time, State would move to enter Exhibit 528 into evidence.
No objection.
Submitted.
Can I have the computer, please? Okay, I'm going to pull up this spreadsheet on the computer that's in evidence on the CD. Even with a fairly narrow time frame, there's still a voluminous amount of data contained in this database. Is that correct?
Lots of data. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, and specifically, let's take it to start time and end time. For this particular report, you kind of limited between time. What's that start time, that first?
2053, so 8:53 p.m.
Okay. We'll scroll down to the bottom real quick. And it looks like it stops at what time?
2108, so 9:08.
9:08 p.m.?
Yes,
sir. On what date?
That would be June 7th, 2021.
All right. And there's just a whole bunch of stuff here, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's take a look at a couple things specifically. Starting at 2053, we see some orientation changes, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And in your opinion, when you see an orientation change on a phone recorded in a KnowledgeC database, what does that information tell you?
Typically, that's that somebody's handling the phone.
Okay. So while a screen coming on or off may not necessarily tell you somebody's handling the phone, the orientation change definitely does, correct?
Yes, it's the phone logging that it's going from either vertical or landscape to the other.
Okay. All right, so let's look at line 1149 starting down to about 1154. You see what I'm talking about there?
Yes, sir.
These lines here, and it says camera. What, in your review of this information, can you draw any conclusions about what's going on, why that camera pops up at about 854 in this database?
All I can say is that the phone is interacting with the camera in some way.
All right, did it interact for a significant period of time?
No, sir.
Do you recall roughly how long the interaction took place?
I believe it was 1 second.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's go down to line 1210. This is at 855 or 2055. And we see some things. It says iOS snapshots.
Yes, sir.
And there's a looks like it says something about Facebook to the far right there, correct?
Correct.
What, in your opinion, what's going on with the phone at this point?
So a snapshot or an iOS snapshot is something that your phone does when you minimize an app in the background. So if you close Facebook and put it kind of in the background, it takes a little snapshot of it so when you pull it up, you can see what it is. It'll do this for, as we see here, Facebook, which we can pull up and see. It does this for a bunch of apps. Not all apps take a picture of it. Some things will just be a blank screen. For example, if you do your camera, it's not going to store a picture of what your camera was looking at when you have it. It's just a black screen.
Okay. And so it does, in your opinion, does this mean anybody's actually accessing the Facebook app or actually physically taking snapshots on this phone?
No.
All right. In fact, it's not doing that, correct?
Correct.
All right. And in fact, in your view, the time frame on this report's 8:53 to approximately 9:08 p.m., correct?
Yes.
And during that time, in your view, was Maggie's phone locked or unlocked?
It was locked.
Okay. And it remained locked starting at what time? You may have to draw on your memory because this doesn't start till 8:53, but it was prior to 8:53, correct?
Yes.
All right, and it remains locked until the next day, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then we're going to scroll down, starting at line 1243. I see a whole bunch of stuff here. And just generally speaking, what is all this stuff in this database at this time?
It's just background processes that your phone's running.
Okay. And I think we already skipped by it, so I'm just going to ask you real quick. But in this this time frame, we also see looks like the Siri app pop up in the Nautilus database.
Yes.
Correct? And how can the Siri app be triggered?
It could be a background process that's going on, or it could be triggered by somebody holding the power button or interacting with Siri.
Okay. All right, and we're almost done here.
5:15.
I'll be done by then.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the information is in this log, but did you identify a time after 9 o'clock when Maggie's screen turned off?
When her screen turned off?
Yes.
Yes.
And was that at 9:07 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay. And after 9:07 p.m., did you identify at any point over the next few minutes, or over the next 20 minutes, that Maggie's screen turned on?
I believe it turned back on at 9:31.
Okay. So between 9:07 and 9:31, Maggie's screen is off, correct?
Yes.
All right. And it also, you just said this a minute ago, it's also locked during that time, correct?
Yes.
All right. And so if Maggie's phone were thrown between 9:07 and 9:31, when the screen's off and the phone is locked, in your opinion, would you see an orientation change?
No, sir. That version of iOS that she has on her phone did not log that at that particular time.
So that version, which was what at that time?
14.6.
All right. And that version of iOS, if a screen's off and a phone's locked, the phone's not going to record an orientation change.
That is correct. Correct.
Okay. No further questions, John. All right.
We're going to adjourn for the day, ladies and gentlemen, and resume at 9:30 to tomorrow morning. Where everyone will stay in place until the jury leaves. With regard to the court's earlier ruling, excluding the, or not allowing the roadside shooting incident, during cross-examination, I find that the defense opened the door to all of that testimony by questioning the witness as to the relationship between Mr. Murdaugh and Eddie Smith, payment of money to buy drugs, indebtedness, his overall relationship, and in order to not mislead the jury and to, under the doctrine of completeness and fairness, the court reverses its decision and will allow examination of witnesses regarding that relationship. And we'll be in recess till tomorrow morning.
9:30. That wraps up segment number 5 of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh, day number 16 in court on the 15th of February of 2023. My name is Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our conversations and continuing coverage in the case of Alec Murdaugh and the many cases that we cover for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always at risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always at risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always at risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS for 30 days free. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.